بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Two married women were discussing. One said, I'm going through a lot of constraints, difficulties, problems, can't make it. Budget is very much limited, tight, I can't just make it. And the other one says, there's a lot of prosperity, happiness, So they discuss, all right, what your husband is doing about the same work, salary about the same. He's earning 4,000, so he's earning also 4,000. But then there's so much of prosperity in this home, and in this home there's so much of difficulty and constraint. They can't work, they can't make it out. So this one that was enjoying prosperity, so she said, all right, come over. Maybe we can exchange ideas, understand, etc., etc. So, as this one that was complaining, she came to the one that was in prosperity. So she sees now how she runs the home. All right, now, in the food that we eat, sometimes they are herbs, right? Like how you have beetroot and you have a herb. You have carrot and you have some herb with it. So you have some veg and the veg comes with some herb. So now she separated the herb and she separated the veg. So first what she did, she made a dish with that herb. Made it enjoyable, added some onions, etc., flavoring, and made it enjoyable. One dish. Then another dish with that carrot, whatever else it was, she made another dish with that. Alright. Then she saw that, alright, what we prepared today, there's something left over from what we did this morning. So there was something that was left over. So she left it for the evening. And in the evening, she just changed the format, and that was a meal. In the morning, it was like a curry. In the evening, she added something to that, some spice, some leftover meat, and she made wraps of the whole thing, made it presentable. Hey, so nice you made it happen. So I'll save tea in the morning. And we have it now. Then she came, she's showing this one here, alright, see, we did this and we had so much of oil. So that oil, what was used, and I squeezed it out and I put it back in the container. Now tomorrow we'll use the same oil. So it's recycled oil. Recycling it yourself. Right. Then she's seeing the third thing that she did. The fourth thing she did was that the water and the light. Water and light. So now how she economized with the water. So right, in the winter, before the hot water can come out, then you have to open the thing full until then the water, hot water comes in. So much of water is getting wasted. So what she would do, until the water becomes warm, she would put it into another container. And when that water becomes warm now, she would use it. So that water she's using for other works, for cooking, for drinking, etc. She's doing it that side and here. That's the fourth thing that she was doing. And the fifth thing that she was doing is the electricity. She was not allowing the electricity to burn just without any reason. There's a need, we used it. We don't need to switch it off. The light is not a feature for aesthetics and beauty. It is a need. So now we need that light, so and we can do without the light, so we need without the light. Now you're going to toilet, for example, you can see it's enough light for you to visit the toilet, come out. To go to the bath, enough light for you to get into the bath and come out. So what's the need to switch on an additional light? So she's not using any additional light. Same happens with the stove, with other appliances. What's needed, they're using it, and what's not needed, what you can do without, so they're doing without it. Similarly, now they got a motor car. So if it is that they need to go to the masjid, they're going walking. You need to buy a loaf of bread, you're going walking. So it will just take you a little bit of time, and you did the walk, and you saved. Now this auntie is saying, hey man, such a beautiful, enjoyable life, pleasant life, and I didn't understand this. If it was a cloth, and the cloth was clean, it was worn one day, it was clean. So there was not the need to wash the thing with soap. Rinse it, all right, just wash the thing a little bit nicely. If there's any stain, get the stain out and reuse the thing. I wash the thing properly again, although there's no stain, no dirt, absolutely no smell, no stink, nothing. See, in that 4,000 or 5,000, coming out so well. You got something surplus to it. So, this was the dua of Nabi Qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Amma ghfirli dhanbi, wassi'li khuluqi, tayyibli kasmi, wa qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Give me contentment and satisfaction in what you have given. If I got that satisfaction, then what I got is more than my needs, much more than my needs. But if I don't have that satisfaction, then no amount is enough. One person was telling me that his boss, with black empowerment, so he's a black, so he earns about 2.5 million in a month. And this person here, he's doing his books. That person is earning how much? 2.5 million, and he's doing his books. He says, around the 24th or the 25th of the month, his pockets are dry. 2.5 million, and his pockets are dry by the 20th or 24th of the month. Okay. So any amount will not be enough. If you don't know, you don't budget, don't learn how to spend, then no matter what you earn, it will be short. Because you're living beyond your means. Wasting, living beyond your means, spending where you're not supposed to be spending. So you'll be doing this, then you'll always be in constraints. But if you understand how to live, then you find that you've got much more than what you need. And you can spend on yourself, help out others, be a happy person, don't have any fights in the home, no problems with anybody. قَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي. So what I'm getting at, we can't make life enjoyable. We can't, no matter what constraint, what problem we are in, we can't create an exit. Like here, in this hadith, there's a question about the time of fitna. So Nabi Sallam is showing you a way out. If you apply this, then you'll find a way out. Amlik alayka lisan, control your tongue. You'll be in control of your tongue. So there'll be a lot of things that are told to you, said to you, that is unpalatable, not nice, you don't like it. But then what are you supposed to be doing? Amlik alayka lisan, hold your tongue, just control your tongue. Don't think to yourself, well, tit for tat, this is what he told me, so I must tell him this much. You will have that attitude, then you'll fight with the whole world. And you won't be able to do work. Because you're worrying about why he told me, and he's got no business to tell me these things here. Why he's speaking about me in my presence, in my absence? Why is he talking about me? So if you're going to be worried about that, then you won't be able to take care of your work. Let him do what he needs to do. Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he's doing about 20 works on one time. Selling kitabs, teaching someone, bundling a parcel, right? Helping some charitable cause. 20 different things he's doing at one at the same time. But now, how did he manage this? So the secret was, again, he controlled himself. One person comes to the kitab shop and he's swearing him. spreading, abusing, insulting. So Moana just looked 1 second and then carried on, whatever he was doing. He's burning the kitab, he's reading Quran Sharif, teaching someone on sabak. He's carried on. That person is swearing, abusive. Moana is just doing his work like nothing's happening. Anyway, that person came around the second day and he's got the same approach again, insulting, rude, impolite, aggression. So Moana didn't even look, today he knows the person, so he didn't even look, carried on. He's bundling of kitab, selling someone, reading his Quran Sharif, whatever else he needs to attend to, he's carrying on. So Moana's one acquaintance, he saw this drama and he says to Moana, but you know what? This person is abusing you, he's insulting you, and you don't even have the decency even to speak and defend yourself. What type of this? No shame, you have no shame. He's insulting you, he's disgracing you, he's embarrassing you, and you are perfectly normal and you're carrying on. What's your problem? So this was a friend that advised Maulana. So Maulana looked at him once, and he carried on again. Now that person became even more angry. Hey, Moana is treating me like his enemy. You know, that enemy, Moana, he ignored, so he's ignoring me also. Like he became even more angry. You're treating me like your enemy. You don't know I'm your friend. That person saying, no, you've got a mouth for yourself. You must talk. Your saliva hasn't dried. You know, you've got a tongue in your mouth. You must speak for yourself. Stand for your rights. So when he completed, whatever, so Moana said, see, you've got a tongue in your mouth, your saliva hasn't dried, you've got a brain box, you've got a personal integrity. You talk. You talk for yourself, and you speak for me as well if you want to. And he carried on. Okay. So this world is not going to be without anybody criticizing, running down, condemning. This is going to happen. But you've got a cause, you follow your cause, and you continue. If you are driving on the road, right, in a village or a small town, suburb, right, so you'll find sometimes one donkey bringing it away, or the other you'll find one dog barking. Are you going to stop the car and tell the donkey, hey, why are you braying? You know, I'm driving, stop, don't bray. And then you see your dog barking, say, hey, what's wrong with you? Can't see I'm driving here. Will you have that attitude? That thing will let him do his work and you will do your work. That thing needs to pray, you will pray. E-or, and carry on. And that dog wants to bark, let him bark. But you do your work. You don't worry about the donkey, don't worry about the dog. So in this world you'll get, sometimes you'll find real donkeys and sometimes you'll find men, you'll find donkeys in men costumes, but in the costumes of men, you'll find donkeys, you'll find dogs in the costumes of men. So it's just a change of format. He's a donkey, but actually he's just got a man costume. He's a dog, but he's just... So whether it's a real donkey or a costumed man or a costumed, they both are asses. So just leave them, ignore them, just carry on, do your work. Let them do their work, you do your work. You don't get stuck into them. They're not getting stuck into you. They're just shouting. Let them carry on. You do your work. Let them do their work. وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ Some people make that their livelihood. Keep talking, condemning, shouting. But in that few moments, if you just manage your time nicely, you find so much you can achieve, so much you can manage, so much you can achieve. I was explaining this Jamaat that came just now, that you sit in Etikaf, right, so there's some controlled environment, make zikr, tilawat, doing the right type of things. And then, after that period where you were in Ibadat, you were dedicated, devoted, just you got 10 minutes, and 10 minutes go and have a fight with someone. Argument, fight, dispute, just for 10 minutes. And after you had that fight for 10 minutes, now see if you still got the same composure. Just now your mind was focused, was composed, you were dedicated in your work. And to build to that, it took you about 20 days to build to that. Now, for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, you had an argument, you had a rundown. Now see if you got that type of focus in your kitab, in your zikr, in your tilawat, in your namaz, is there any focus? Everything is correct. Everything is broken down. So was it worth it? 20 days it took you to acquire, and in 10 days you lost everything. See? So this is going to happen. Learn to live with this type of thing. Just ignore these people here. They will say what they need to say. You do what you need to do. They will say what they need to say. But you do what you need to do. You just carry on. Continue your work. At the end, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبِي يَنْقَلِبُونَ فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ إِن تَسْخَرْ مِنِّي فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. And then you'll see. So you do your work. You don't get distracted because of his comments. One person was, he recorded in his diary, see, this person was drugging. So I advised him, 99 times I advised him. Now, I'm not going to tell him anything. So many times. I advised him, I admonished him, and he's not just listening. He said, in future I'm not going to, I have nothing to do with him. I told him enough now, enough is enough. So he mentioned this, and then he's gone to toilet, and there's two, three people that are discussing outside. In the discussion, they said, you know what, this man here, you advise him 99 times, right? And the wrong that he was doing, he did not give up, he is carrying on. In spite of the admonition, continuous advising, but he didn't give up. So if he cannot give up the wrong, then preaching, giving good words is right. So why are you giving up the good work? He not giving up the bad work, then why are you giving up your good work? So isn't it a lesson for you to learn that he, in spite of whatever, he is not giving up the wrong, and when you are doing the right, then is there a need for you to give up the good? You carry on. Let him do his evil, you do your good. So now, he said, yeah, no, I'm going to carry on. I'm gonna. So he took the courage, and then he advised. Now when he advised, just one time, that person left the drug. So really, he needed that 100th stroke, for him to come right. 99 strokes were given, right? He needed the last straw on the camel's back. So that's what he needed, the last straw he needed. Of the last straw, he came right. So this world is going to continue, the wrong will continue with the wrong, but you don't need the good. Whether where you are, who you are, what it is, just carry on. Carry on, persevere. And in anything and everything that you're doing, Allah will create an exit. So this one thing that we need to take care of is the tongue. There must be some reason why the Muslim is speaking about the tongue, the private areas. You take care and you're guaranteed your jannat. Right? As far as people are concerned, media is concerned, now WhatsApp is concerned, that won't stop. It came even before the Muslim's time. See the media, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ, to frighten people. The work of the media is what? To run someone down, to threaten someone. Hey, yeah. So this media process, that mentality, media mentality was there. إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. So the Sahaba Kiram, were they consumed with media mentality? No, it works in reverse. فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. Instead of them being victims of that media mentality, that rant actually enhanced the iman. فَخْشَوْمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. See that? So what the media is doing is trying to break. And their minds are working in reverse. That the more they're trying to break, and the more the iman is coming up. فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. Now, I explained yesterday that how the iman increased. Because now, you know, this is coming up, so we're going to work. We'll put our minds to it, our hearts to it, our bodies to it, and work. So they're working towards what? Towards goodness. So when they're going to work towards goodness, then isn't that going to increase the iman? فَخْشَوْمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. So how to avoid an area where there's a problem, how to avoid. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, someone is insulting him, insulting. So all Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to him, if I am wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. And if you are wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive you. Now, is there any point after that? So why must we worry? You're going to work in an office, you're going to work in an institute, an organization, someone's going to say something. Do your work. Leave the person to do and to say what he wants. Leave him, you do your work. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So you see, as you progress, as you work, then you're going to get obstacles. Continuous obstacles you get. So there's two stories of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So he's going back after his work, now he's returning home. So en route, one person that is shouting him, slandering him, languages and whatever. So Imam Sahib, this is walking gently, peacefully, calmly, and he's carrying on. So as Imam Sahib approaches his home, so Imam Sahib says to that person, see, this is my home. If there's anything you still have to give it to me. Otherwise, you will feel remorseful, you know, that I needed to say so much more, and he didn't give me a chance to say it. So, pani ho gaya. What he's doing, and how Imam Sahib is retaliating, you see. Now that's called intelligence, that's called wisdom. You know, yesterday we were talking of intelligence, and there's two extremes, right? You waste that intelligence, and you overuse the intelligence. Now, how to use it right? يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا خَيْرًا قَلِيلًا. What you want? This is called خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Gently, nicely, just come. But anything else to say. Furthermore, Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is delivering a talk in Delhi, Jama Masjid. So there's a crowd of about 10,000, right? But I can't still understand how they're talking without mics. Yeah, 10 people here, you got mics. They talk with a crowd of 10,000, no mic. So in that crowd now, you have 10,000 people, more than your Eidgah crowd, right? 10,000, I think Spingali Eidgah is about 1,000. How much? What's the crowd would be? What do you feel? Rough estimation. 2,000. Five times that amount. Five times. In that crowd, remember they say, Maine suna ke aap harami ho. I hear that you are from illegitimate stock. Why is giving a talk here? Say, illegitimate. How you feel? So, one says, you've been misinformed because the witnesses to my father's nikah are still living, and you can find out there in Fulad, Muzaffar Nagar, Roorkee, people are still around, go and find them. And the way he was talking, he continued. His spirit and his motivation didn't dip. Kind of like normal, absolutely normal. No change in the demeanor, no change, absolutely no change. You get one jamaat,
تَجْعَلُونَ رِزْكَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. They make that their livelihood, to run down, to disgrace, insult. And leave it for the media. They're doing their job. Are you doing your job? See how much more they make their business colorful. They keep doing it. Let them continue. You do your work. Why must you get caught up with them? Munib Rahmat is another story about him. See how they control themselves. See, when Allah awards you, then He awards you after these type of ordeals, sacrifices, difficulties that you go through, then He blesses you. He wants to see the sabr, because He says, إِن تَصْبِرُ وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ. So the reward comes after sabr and taqwa. Whatever Allah is going to bless is after sabr and taqwa. And sabr is against your tabiat. Things that are against your tabiat you have to hold just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Right. So, Imam Sa'ib Rahmatullah Alayhi, now he's towards his old age. So this person comes knocking at the door. What we heard from Hazrat Imam Sa'ib, living in a double story. So obviously it will take him time to come down, right? And you already see the steps of the olden days. The steps today is like a breeze in the park. So nice is made. We're studying in Dioban, so the Darul Hadith, right? You have to go upstairs. The one step is like this. One step is like this. Now I feel it was so much. That time we didn't feel it because we were young. But now I'm thinking, but the Shaykhul Hadith was 75, 80 years of age at that time. How they managed it? So we went into a plastic life, what? Processed, plastic, rainbow life. So therefore we become like a rainbow chicken. See? They were original people, so they were strong. I can still remember that Darul Hadith, going up there, so big steps. And you know, in Medina Munawwara, in the old Medina, so the women folk had some friends there. Some woman, Badakhshan, somewhere in Russia, somewhere, so they came and settled in. So if you go and take them, meet their friends. But the steps used to be so high. Right? So now this person is knocking at the door. Imam Sahib opens the door, comes down to see the person. So as Imam Sahib comes down, so just then the person says, hey, I just forgot, man. I just forgot now. So never mind. Whenever you remember. So Imam Sahib went up again. Not even 10 minutes passed. Knock, 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 knock. Imam Sahib comes down again. Hey, just now, up till now, I had it. My memory just failing me. Now I know what. Went up again. He gave him the runaround of about 10 times. 10 times. Imagine going up, coming down. After the 10th time, then he asked Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, yeah, now I remember that thing. I want to know human waste, you know, waste, number two. Is it sweet or is it bitter? The Muslim is asking. She says, "Hoshiyaron ki kami nahi." In the world, you don't get. There's no shortage of stupid, right? So you must don't become stupid. They'll carry on. Bewakuf kahi ke mere waqt ko zai karta hai. Main zamana ka imam hu. He says, "Relax." See, your patience will show results. So, Imam Sahib says, you know what? I cannot say because I haven't tasted. So, I don't know the exact. But what my mind tells me, that if it is fresh, then it should be a little bit sweet. And if it's stale, then it may be a little bit sour or bitter. So now this person is asking, what's your proof for that? Dalil. Fain dalil, fain dalil. Everything must be dalil, proved. Since when it's fresh, you find flies sitting on it. And when it's gone stale, you don't find flies. So that means that fresh one may be a little bit sweet, and the one that is gone stale, that may not be sweet. See, relaxed, composed. One person comes to Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi when his mother has become widowed, right? She must be over 70, 75. She is widowed, past the prospect of nikah. So he says to Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi that I wish to propose marriage for your mother. I wish to propose in marriage with your mother. Now, if someone comes and tells you that, you feel insulted, right? When you feel insulted, your mother is aged, and he comes and speaks in this way to you, you feel very much insulted, very much upset you feel. Imam Sahib is calm, composed. And he says, see, my mother is an adult. And being an adult, then she has the right to accept the offer or to decline. If it's a girl that is underage, then there is wilayat ijbar. You know wilayat ijbar? The father can get his daughter married without her consent if she is not of age, right? But when she's of age, there's no wilayat ijbar. So now my mother is of age and she has the right to accept the proposal and she's got the right to decline. So I can't speak for her. I need to ask her whether she is accepting this proposal or she is declining it. So Imam Sahib just turned around and he hears thud. The whole man, big size, 6 feet man, fat man, he fell. So he's dead. So Imam Sahib says, Qatalahu sabri. My patience killed the person. So what we understand, that if you're going to be patient, is not that nobody is defending you. Allah is on your side. إِنَّهُ مَيَّتَّقِ. Understand? إِنَّهُ مَيَّتَّقِ وَيَسْبِرُ. If you are defending yourself, Allah is on your side. And in time, this person will see the consequence of his action. You don't worry about it, when it will come, how it will come. You do your work. This is one thing at the time of fitna. Just keep quiet, just do your work. I was explaining to those boys. But now, in being in a studying environment, I mean a studying environment with the grace of Allah, from 1971. And now it's what, 2019, right? So how many years? 48 years in a studying environment, right? So long. In this I saw one Malawian boy, in fact a few Malawian boys I saw. They came from madrasa from scratch now. In about 3 or 4 months they completed the whole hifz, hud, tajweed, qiraat and everything. 3 months they finished it up. So now that made me think, hey, but we also human beings, and they also human beings, but how they manage this? There are tape recorders and computers that they just finish it in 3 months. How they manage this? What takes us 3 years, it took him 3 months. So I tried to understand that. So then I came to the conclusion, you see, in Malawi is living in the sticks. So there is no recreation around there. There's no shops there, there's no fast life there, no cars, nothing, right? Contented life, nothing to go and amuse yourself, recreate, shopping area, nothing. So their minds are not occupied. Minds are not occupied, not with recreation, not with fast food, not with cars, not with destinations of holiday, etc. Nothing. Minds are absolutely blank. when their minds are not occupied at all, now you give it to them, the minds will take complete, will take full. Now, against a mind that is occupied, see, now take a page, that page got writing from the top till the bottom. Is there any place to? No place. So your mind now is all occupied. When it's occupied, you want to give it, it doesn't have the space. Squeezing, coming through, squeezing, squeezing, one side, that side, this side, top side, bottom side, squeezing and coming right. But there's no place in there. And his mind is unoccupied. When it's unoccupied, then whatever you're giving him, he's just taking it full. And your mind is working like this. You know, after class, then we will have chicken tikka. Right? And then, in the evening, you know that we got a sponsor for burgers, you know. And tomorrow, I hear some wraps are coming around. You know what is wraps, Mona? Timur? What is wraps? I only got to know about three, four months ago. What is wraps? What is wraps? Roti, what happens? Filling inside. I only discovered now. So, our minds are occupied with that. We can even go here, Great Town, go for a holiday. Everything is occupied. Then you worry, hey, but my car is right. I'm going Great Town, what am I going to take from here? Dan Katai, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Right. So you see, the mind is all occupied. All the space is taken. When the space has been taken, now the mind can't take more. It's got a limit, right? It's got a limit. It can take to its limit, not beyond the limit. To the extent of the limit, it's got capacity it can take, not beyond the capacity. See, like a car, right? Does it have a capacity of a horse and trailer? It can take, but not like a horse and trailer. So that's the mind. Mind has got a limit, got a capacity. It can take according to its capacity. It can't take beyond that. We'll put something beyond that, you're going to bust that car, right? So say you'll bust your brain. It's got a capacity, it'll take within that capacity, not beyond. But your fortune is that don't overload the thing. Don't, unnecessary thing doesn't concern you, doesn't relate to you, but just leave it out. What concerns you, take that on. What doesn't concern you, leave it out. You come and learn this in the Adhikar. What concerns you, you take it on. Number one, what distracts you, what doesn't concern you, leave it out. What may concern you a little bit, but it distracts you. It's going to distract you, leave it out. Like, what you're going to be eating for the evening, it's a concern, right? Isn't it a concern? But if you're going to be sitting here and worried about what they're going to give, you know, for iftar, are there going to be donuts or snowballs or naan katai, what biscuits they're going to serve? And the tea is going to be like with ginger without fudina. How is it going to be? Your mind is going to work like that now. Can you concentrate here? Can't concentrate. The voice coming into the madrasa. Then from Wednesday, where the minds are? This is, hey, tomorrow is Thursday. Then after the anjuman, what am I going to do? How am I going to spend our time? You know, long time I didn't eat chicken tikka, you know. So, who makes it nice? Yeah, that Big Ben, they make it very nice, you know. Go for chicken tikka. You see, the whole mind is occupied. When tikka came there, it blocked the mind. Oh, tikka, tik gaya. Zehen mein tik gaya. Usko nikalna mushkil ho gaya. That means, stuck up there, you can't take it out. Then you think, yeah, but you know, the tikka. But you know that one sauce, that steer sauce, if you add that, hey, it'll be too good, man. That steer sauce, where it comes from? Oh, that steer sauce comes from somewhere from Visible. How are you going to get it from Visible now? See, the mind is working. Oh, all right, you know what? That uncle, he comes once a week from Visible. We just ask him to bring it from there. Every time, you know, take the cash. I got the money. But now see how the mind is working. Until that tikka doesn't come, until the sauce doesn't come, until you don't eat it, where's your mind? But I ask you, is it worth the price? Quran Sharif went away, the Hadith went away, the Fiqh went away. For the tikka, with the tear sauce, everything got lost. So the mind can't be occupied. Understand that the mind got a capacity, it will work according to its capacity. Overloaded, you're going to have a problem. And you're going to put junk there, then junk will come out. So there's three things that you look after your mind. One is, what doesn't concern you. Number two is, what will distract you. It will distract you. You can see your study and all that. It's going to distract. When I was studying in Yoban, and occasionally, at that time in India, a chocolate was a real novelty. You don't see it. Any of the shops in Dioman, you hardly see it. I don't think one shop had chocolates now. You brought up with chocolates, and there's nothing like chocolates. So now someone is coming for 4 months or something, they bring one box of chocolates. I'm in class now, and think, hey, the chocolate is coming, man. Chocolate is coming today. So I said, hey, now this is going to be a problem for me now. Because until the chocolate is there, the mind is going to turn around. Something is going to be a big battle. To part away with all these chocolates is not a small thing. Where you don't get it, and to part away from it, it's difficult, isn't it? So, but hey, it's just a matter of taste. Just give it away. Hey, those other South African boys, how happy they'll get. Each one got one slab. How nice they'll feel. Just give it away. Add something, give everything away. So for your education, you have to make the sacrifice. Anything that's going to be distracting you. Anything that's going to be distracting you. It's going to be attractive. You're going to be like enjoying the thing. But you've got to understand that that's going to be distracting. When it's distracting, just move it away. No matter how enjoyable, how nice it seems. But your whole purpose of education, purpose of coming is going to get lost just because of the chocolate. See, so what is that which doesn't concern you, and one is that which distracts you. Are you going in Jamaat? So someone started on something. Hey, who's right? Nizamuddin is right. This is right. You know, but those people that did this. But how does that concern you? Does it concern you? In the Jamaat, they say, by Layani, leave it out. Don't they tell you? But now, why must you know about what Nizamuddin is doing, what this person is doing? Do you need to know about this thing? Now you're going to get caught into that. That isn't going to occupy your mind. Isn't that going to influence your talk? Isn't that going to have an effect on your behavior? Are you going to be the normal person or you'll be a different person? You're going to be a different person. Now, you look at Jamaat work differently. How you look at Jamaat work? Hey, what crowds we pulled and what crowds they pulled? Now, is that the whole theme of the Jamaat work? Crowds. And if it was, there was something wrong that took place in their camp, then are you going to be rejoicing at their misfortune or are you going to feel grieved about it? See these people, they moved. See what happened to them. See what happened. So you'll move on to this. Then you want to see crowds, compare your success, rate your success according to crowds, or you're going to rejoice at misfortune. Ask you, is it in conforming with your work? You hear about the misfortune, you're getting happy. See? So you misunderstood the whole Jamaat work. The whole Jamaat work has been misunderstood. But where? We start from Layani. It doesn't concern you by it, leave it out. Not my business. Number two is, what's going to distract you? So see, now you're doing work, and it's going to distract you. So leave it out. You're sitting in the class now, or sitting here now, I see Timor's topi, I just like it, man. To ask him after class, where you got this topi from? Who you got it sewn? Salim Taylor, Isbai, who, where, Overport, or Vellum, or Stembe, where you got it sewn? So the whole class that started teaching Mishkat Sharif, so nice, Hadith is teaching. Where's your mind? Timor's topi. Is it right or not? The whole time, the mind is going to be occupied with topi. Or if it is that more Yusuf meet about on Khanau, so now, he like that comment. So now, whole time was good. Yusuf, you struck a bugger, man. how it happened, how it happened, where you got it from? Can't you just put me to some, just correct me, man, just punish me. I need to get a cow also. How much you got it, where you got it from? So now see how your mind, until you haven't got that car, where's your mind going to be? It's going to be stuck now. Now they teach, Ustad is teaching Hidayah, is teaching Mishkat, teaching Jalalain, and where your mind is? Mori Sumita and the motor car. Is it right or not? See? So it may be of concern, but it's going to distract you. So just leave it out. It may be of concern, but it's going to distract. You can do without it, right? You can do without it. You want a skoro skoro, you're still moving, coming, you're learning, you're going. Your mind is not disturbed. Now you want all that pleasures, then you want education, then you want ilm. It doesn't happen. Like you see, you got a car and you got 5 passengers, right? You're supposed to have just 4 passengers. In fact, 3 passengers. One on your side and 2. So you got 4. Right? You got 3 and 4, 4. Now someone says, hey, you know, my father's Kumbi, we take 15 passengers. Why can't you take? So small-hearted you are. Now, if you get impressed with his 15 passengers and you start loading your car, what happened? So understand now that mind has got a capacity. If that Kumbi got a capacity, then the small car got a capacity. So similarly, your mind has got a capacity. It's got a capacity, you overload it, you can't take it. It will just throw out. You're giving it, but it will throw out. Understand? This is a capacity, this is a limit. What works there is just leave out those things that don't concern. Number 2, that distract. The second thing to save your mind. And the third thing to save your mind, I just explained that earlier on, don't ever get into any type of controversy, conflict, fight, argument. Even with your near and dear ones, right? Every day, Kari Kishri, you don't know anything else. Where you came from? Where do I see Kari Kishri? What do you think of me? So now, you're going to have that attitude, what's going to happen? In the class A, last period, well, going back to Kari Kishri. No color, they didn't learn anything here. What they learned? Only Kari Kishri. See? So you're going to have a fight either mentally or either verbally. Then that's going to be a third destroyer to the mind. It destroys you. And I say this, if you want to experiment that, how you experiment it, is you're normal, really doing everything well. And just for an experiment's sake, just go and have a fight, 10 minutes, or rebirth, gossiping, some type of stupid things. Right? Just for 10 minutes, what happens? Places that you can avoid. And you're not avoiding now. You can see that souk, you can't avoid it, right? A mall, you can't avoid it. Shopping area, you can't avoid it. But you went there. Now, do you have the composure of your mind? Now, you went to the shop, now you say, hey, what things they've got there, right? All placed so well, immaculately, so nice. The music is so nice. And the girls are dressed so nice. I see the type of clothing. Hey, my wife, she's not dressed up like this, man. See the hairstyle that she got. Now, where's your mind going to be? So, one is things that distract you, even if it's sometimes of some concern, but you can make a plan. You can make a plan to avoid that thing. Then you avoid it to the best of your ability. Like, for example, now, a lot of Muslims come around. They got a list. These are the list that I got, right? So this person can do this for you because he's going to do his shopping. Give him the cash. Just when you're doing your shopping, then you just do mine as well. And now it's become even more easier that these food items, there's a lot of internet shopping. They come and deliver it there. Why must you go there? They'll come and deliver it, pay him, class, end of the story. Why must you? No, but you know that finishes the jacket, man. I can't just buy it like that. I must go and see it myself. You know how that. For that finish, you'll finish your mind.
for the finish of the clothing, of how you look, or the tiles, or the motor car, or the holiday that is coming up. Whilst you're studying now, you're going to go for Umrah. So when your mind is going to run in all these things here, then you're going to really have a mental wreckage, a mental wreck. You overused your capacity, right? Where that capacity was supposed to be used, you got no space for it. So by the grace of Allah, today I show you that why the minds have become so weak. This order, sometimes in these days, you got a deficit, sometimes the child has got a concentration problem. So these are the reasons. Amongst many other reasons, these are the reasons. So what's the problem now? Team for some training, therapy and all that. But this is the problem. Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb Karay.